WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. And listeners, you know on Mondays we like to do our reviews and previews of the best films, books, television, and more. Today's more, we're talking podcasts with the New York Times podcast proselytizer, Phoebe Lett. Always happy to have you in studio, Phoebe.
Thanks for having me, Allison.
So big news in the audio world. The Pulitzer Board announced that in 2020, there will be a prize, a Pulitzer Prize for audio reporting. The prize will be for, and this is the quote, for a distinguished example of audio journalism that serves the public interest, characterized by revelatory reporting and illuminating storytelling, and U.S. newspapers, magazines, wire services, and online news sites that publish regularly. Wow. So this is really big news. What did you think when you heard this?
I got so excited because it means that everyone in my beloved organization, the New York Times, will officially take podcasting even more seriously than they were before. If we can aim our projects toward a Pulitzer worthy, that gives a lot of incentive for editors and people in media to start to think about, okay, this could maybe be an audio story. Maybe audio is the best medium to serve this particular story. And so that's really exciting as a legitimizer, you know?
Welcome to our world.
Everybody
in public radio is like, yeah, and?
I know. That's the worst part. Every time you see these headlines of like, podcasting finally made it. People really care about audio. Or like, a new Daily Show. Everyone who's in radio is like, yeah, we've been here.
Yeah.
No, we've been doing this.
What can you see as a pro for this? And what could be a con?
A pro would be the kind of quality storytelling that we will see coming out of places that care very deeply about winning Pulitzers. Hopefully, for me, the people who are already making awesome audio, so I'm thinking about In the Dark or Criminal, those sorts of stories that should be of the caliber, same caliber as other people who win Pulitzer Awards, that would be such a huge pro to get that kind of legitimacy, but also attention to those stories that are being told there. The con is what the rest of the industry is going through. Right now, the industry is having this immense overturn, and as Hollywood sort of seeps in and big studios see podcasts as an opportunity to sort of trial balloon projects without needing to put a huge production cost behind it, what we might see is a lot of people moving toward trying to make audio that maybe shouldn't necessarily be an audio story, maybe would be served in a different way.
You know? Well, we shall see.
I'm excited either way.
I think it's pretty great.
It's awesome.
Let's talk about your recommendations. We're going to start with Marvels. I made sure that I checked. That's plural, Marvels.
It is.
It's a new Stitcher premium show, which is that code for cost money?
Cost money, but in 2020, it will no longer cost money. It'll be on just Stitcher regular. They tell me. But yes, it is. For now, it's a Stitcher premium show, which means that if you pay a little bit extra to Stitcher, you can hear this. It's an adapted from a comic from 1994. This is the first podcast that they're making that isn't in the imprint of the studios. So this isn't based off of a movie you've already seen. This is totally new. And this comic from 1994, so it's the 25th anniversary of it, is actually not from the perspective of the Fantastic Four, but is instead from the perspective of the journalist covering the Fantastic Four. So it's more of a human side of the Marvel story that you might otherwise know.
Let's go on to some biopods. I love this word now. I just say it a lot. Biopod. The first one we're going to talk about is Rob Ford, the former mayor of Toronto, the late Rob Ford. For people who don't remember about him, he was a real character. He was a real sort of working class guy who a lot of people in the media didn't think would ever be the mayor of a sophisticated city like Toronto. And then when he became mayor, he brought all of Rob Ford with him. Then the podcast is called The Gravy Train. Let's listen to a little bit of the intro.
To a large chunk of Torontonians, he was an embarrassment.
Yes, I have smoked crack cocaine. Do I? Am I an addict? No.
When have you?
Have I tried it? Probably in one of my drunken stupors.
To an almost identical chunk of the same city, he was a working class hero. He was an underdog from Etobicoke. He was unpolished and unprofessional and totally unconcerned about that.
What do we get from this podcast about Rob Ford?
What I'm getting is the story of someone who has a lot of ambition and a lot of ego, but also a problem with addiction. It is really an addiction story told from the outsider perspective of people who were trying to cover him as politics as usual, and that just didn't work anymore under Rob Ford. And he really was the first time that someone this salacious, especially for Canadian journalists, they really had to figure out where the personal life of Rob Ford ended and the political life began in order to try to cover him fairly. And so it's heavy. There's domestic violence as a warning. There's a lot of addiction, and you just end up feeling rather sad. I mean, there's also xenophobia, so it's a complex character and a really complicated moment of Torontonian history.
What is something you learned about Rob Ford, or you might have learned about Rob Ford, and one can learn that you think goes beyond those headlines behind the crack cocaine and everything else that we all read about?
One fun detail I learned was he refused to stop coaching the football team that he was coaching to the detriment of his own mayoral job. So he would miss big citywide meetings to coach this football team. And they like all of Torontonian politics had to evolve around his football team, which is just a very human element to a story that is otherwise very salacious and not necessarily the best light of this person. But that kind of cracks open the door of like, oh, okay, so he cares about the kid, so who is this guy? It's one of those moments.
The name of the podcast is The Gravy Train, about the late Rob Ford, the former mayor of Toronto. All right, some more podcasts, this one's a little heavy too. Knowing Robin Williams from Macmillan Podcast. It's available on Stitcher. What is the approach to this one?
This one is hosted by Christy Westgaard, and it's sort of in partnership. You heard Macmillan, who you might have seen on your kids' textbook covers. They did publish his book Robin last year, David Itzkoff. And so it's sort of the interviews and backstory of Robin Williams from childhood. So he had way more of a rough childhood than I would have thought, and growing up and becoming the guy that we knew as Mork from Mork and Mindy, and then going on to fame and his struggles with himself struggling with addiction, mm-hmm. and family. And interspersed throughout, there are really great interviews with comedians that either worked with him or were touched. So I think they've had Jimmy Pardo and Chris Gethard, who hosts Beautiful Anonymous, the podcast. He deals a lot about depression. And mm-hmm. So they're really raw mental health conversations around comedy. So if you like the Hilarious World of Depression podcast, you'd probably like this one too, because it's got a lot of the same themes.
This sounds very layered.
Yes, it's layered, it's funny, it's insightful, and it's also kind of tragic.
Knowing Robin Williams is the name of that podcast. My guest giving us a review and preview of some of the great podcasts out there, Ms. Phoebe Lett from the New York Times. There's Making Beyonce from WBEZ, who they also did Making Oprah, shocker. Chicago. But it tells a story of this little girl from Houston, who became the biggest name in music. It's really fun, I think, because you get to hear Beyonce when she's little.
I know, yeah. If you're a longtime Beyonce fan, as I am, you have heard or seen a lot of the home videos that Matthew Knowles had created, because she uses it in some of her work, in some of her video interstitials. She'll play some clips from her past. And so it's really finding out, like, okay, Girls' Time, I heard that in the Beyonce album. Now I actually know what went into that. And that was this little group of preteen girls who were rapping, dancing, and singing. Beyonce was obviously one of the singers. They practiced so hard. They Jackson 5 style practiced till their feet bled. And they got on Star Search, and they didn't have them compete in the kids category. They had them compete against adults because the performance was so good that it wouldn't be fair to the other kids. Now, this is just a group of young girls of color. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of like, what's going on down there? Mm. And so it's a lot of, you really find out basically what made Beyoncé the person who joined Destiny's Child, who created Destiny's Child.
Let's listen to a little bit from the podcast. This is when we meet young little baby Beyoncé playing in the park along with her dad.
Well, Beyoncé, as with Solange, at a young age, my former wife and I surrounded them with things we thought that they would enjoy. Beyoncé loved to sing and dance.
Oh, that's so hilarious.
She's so cute.
She just knows who she is already.
Right. I mean, that's what they, all of the interviews are with former band members or people who are in their lives. She was just a very talented, immediately professional, preternaturally professional child. And then Matthew Knowles, what you really get from this podcast is the picture of Matthew Knowles as an ambitious salesman who channeled all of his ambition through his very talented daughter.
It's sort of interesting. Yeah, as soon as I heard her father's voice, because I think people who are in the Beehive know that she is closer with her mom.
Oh, yeah.
With
oh,
Miss
yeah.
Tina. And yeah. This is the ex-husband.
Yep. My father taught me how to love my haters is the quote she sings. So, yeah, it's an interesting, because, you know, with making Oprah and making Obama the two previous seasons, they never interviewed this subject matter. So we knew Beyoncé wasn't going to be in this podcast, but the fact that it was so much of Matthew Knowles was, I think, a tip-off to a lot of people, like, okay, this is going to really be where his story, how his story comes into play with Beyoncé. She's famously not one for interviews and will only give you exactly what she wants you to see or hear mm-hmm. about her life. So it's interesting to see someone or WBZ try to tackle this story of someone so private and so very precise with their public image.
My guest is Phoebe Lett. She covers podcasts for The New York Times. She's giving us her reviews and previews. We'll have more with Phoebe after a quick break. This is All of It. Welcome back to All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. My guest is Phoebe Lett. She covers podcasts for The New York Times. She's giving us our Monday review preview of the podcasts that are out there in the world that you might want to check out. There's a Mr. Rogers podcast. We're having sort of a Mr. Rogers-palooza right now. It's called Finding Fred. It is from via iHeartMedia, Fatherly via iHeartMedia. It's 10 episodes hosted by author and cultural critic Carvell Wallace. How do we get a sense of Mr. Rogers? I feel like between the documentary and the narrative film and maybe this podcast, we're learning a lot about Fred Rogers.
Yeah, I think it's also something that's very 2019. There's a big desire for something wholesome and something that might unite people across any sort of political stripe. And that's definitely what I think Fred Rogers himself tried to do, as far as I can tell from all of this media that I've been consuming mm-hmm. about him. And so this podcast really gets behind the political thinking that he had around, like, being radically compassionate, but also very complicated inner person himself. So the second story is with the police officer in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood and how it was very significant for a black man to have his feet washed and shared in the same tub as Mr. Rogers himself, and how these are quiet moments of political resistance, but that officer was also a gay man, and Mr. Rogers told him he couldn't come out or it would undo all of the years of the work that they did because of how people would demonize it, even though he still loved it. It's a very complicated image, actually, of Mr. Rogers, but one that I think we should deal with if everyone's being ethically educated by this man for the last 30 years.
Well, let's take a listen to a little bit from that episode you just mentioned, Phoebe.
Last episode, we talked about the famous scene in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood in which Fred washes Francois Clemens' feet. It was politically charged, a white man sharing a swimming pool with a black man. But the scene was also a blatant recreation of a Bible story from the Gospel of John. In this story, Jesus washes the feet of his followers, the people who are supposedly less powerful, less important than himself. The moral is that great leaders are first and foremost great servants, that we can and maybe should serve one another. But for all the biblically evocative nature of the footbath scene, what's most striking is what Fred Rogers doesn't say. God. Fred was an ordained Presbyterian minister, though you wouldn't even know it from watching his program. This scene with Officer Clemens is about as close as he ever came to telling a Bible story in the neighborhood.
I found it fascinating.
Yeah, there's so many different levels that you just maybe you didn't catch, or maybe you're like, huh, that seems like an allusion to something. But it actually was very calculated and very intentional on his part.
The name of that podcast is Finding Fred. My guest is Phoebe Lett from the New York Times. She covers all things podcast. She's giving us some reviews and previews. You also recommend Uncuffed. Explain what Uncuffed is.
Well, maybe some of the audience has heard of Ear Hustle, which was a podcast that was created out of San Quentin in California, prison in California. This is from the same prison, so it is also from San Quentin, but also Solano State Prison. And this is a podcast by and for incarcerated men in particular. So in each episode, the men will interview another one of the incarcerated men about a particular element of their story, and they get to pick what story they want to produce. So it's, I want to tell a story about how you got into yoga here in prison, or I want to tell a story about how you found basketball again after you left it to deal drugs. And so they interview each other, and they get at truly, like, they get deep. They get deep, and they talk about how, my father only paid attention to me in a positive way when I was doing sports, or, you know, they really challenge each other on their, where they came up with their ideas of masculinity, what led them to be where they are now. After each story, each interview, basically, there's a group listening session, effectively, and a bunch of inmates say, well, what did you take away from that story, or what did that evoke in you? And they'll bring up, like, this speaks to my own experience, or I had the exact opposite story, but this stood out to me. And it just ends up feeling like a deeply vulnerable personal session of group therapy that you get to listen in on, of men who are genuinely so thoughtful, very intelligent, very smart. They're artists, they're journalists, they're all different kinds of men who are incarcerated. And it's what's amazing to me, like Ear Hustle, is this is giving voices to people that, like, we've decided need to be voiceless. And it's fascinating because they don't have access to the internet, so they can't listen to podcasts. So they're doing this entirely based off of the California has a public arts fund that helps bring classes inside to produce audio. It's a really cool initiative.
Let's listen to a little bit of the trailer from Uncuffed.
Uncuffed is about telling our stories from our perspective.
From the perspective of a person who hasn't had his story told.
We bring them down to the studio, or we record them, and then we edit it ourselves.
On the show, you'll hear what it's like to be incarcerated.
From the minute you stepped in the building, you literally felt that you was kind of like on this other planet.
But really, what it's like to be a human being.
To struggle with your family.
If I hate my dad, I hate myself. If I love myself, I love my dad.
Or to try something new that you never imagined doing.
30 guys from all different cliques and gangs doing yoga on the handball court.
We should say that is produced by San Francisco Public Radio, KALW. That is called Uncuffed. All right, before I let you go, I noticed that you have a bunch of food podcasts.
I do.
Yeah. And I think food podcasts are interesting because I think of food as being so visual.
Totally.
So tell me a little bit about a couple of these food podcasts that work.
So there are, what's happening is there's a lot of really good food story reporting that make it, that get you behind the scenes of stories that you might otherwise, like, sort of not really blow off. So the history or the reality behind junk food, that would be the first episode of the Luminary exclusive podcast Food Actually by Tamar Adler. She goes into what we've been told, what are the lies we've been told about the flavors. Apparently, this is so obvious, but I didn't realize it until she said it, like, nacho cheese flavor didn't exist before, like, Dorito came up with it. And, like, so there are so many things layered in the way that we eat today that absolutely we should not take for granted, and there's actually really interesting stories about where they come from. the America's Test Kitchen, which is a really great recipe resource that I use, they have a podcast called Proof, and they will go really deep for about a little under an hour into different kinds of stories about. So the one I was listening to today was the truth behind eating bugs, and like where's the future of that going to be, and where what actually is the case. It's apparently a very sustainable option. I'm not ready yet. But I'm a vegetarian, so I can think about that a little more.
Could be in your future.
Could be, yeah. And the last one that I'm really excited about is Copper and Heat, which is an independent chef, a former chef de partie at a 3 Michelin star restaurant. Her first season was all about gender and the way that femininity and gender dynamics in kitchens play out. So I'm sure you've heard, but like, they're very masculine. Restaurant kitchens are very masculine spaces. They're very tough and weakness. There's a lot of gender tied up there. And so she interviewed all of her colleagues in the fine dining world and ended up winning a James Beard Award for that season. So season two is all about wages, tipping, delivery, everything that's restaurants are already working on a razor thin
margin.
And so it's basically about how labor is actually paid for. It's really good. The most recent episode, I think, is about the fact that undocumented workers make up a huge portion of the workforce, and an important portion and a valued portion. So what happens when political forces put that under attack? What happens to a whole industry? So it's really fascinating, really good storytelling, and I'm a big fan.
Sounds like what you're describing is long-form culinary journalism.
Exactly. And so we've been seeing more and more of this. Eater's Digest is another one by Vox, and it's kind of doing the same thing, going deep into why is suddenly alcoholic seltzer the thing that you see? And so there's a lot of stories that actually do lend themselves to audio when it comes to food, even though you can't smell or see them,
right.
See how delicious they look.
They're not cooking shows, audio cooking shows, in other words.
No, there are those, and those surprisingly work too, because it's so satisfying to hear something sizzle on a stove, but yeah.
You were suggesting that our listeners check out Bello Collective's 100 list. Why?
Not just because I wrote two of the 100. Two is small compared to my very esteemed colleagues on that list. So Bello Collective is a great resource if you're looking for new podcast recommendations. They do all different kinds, from fiction, nonfiction, and they have really the best writers on podcasts in the industry constantly writing, and they have a really cool newsletter that you can also subscribe to that'll give you suggestions. But they came up with this top 100, and it is their most diverse list. And since I was a part of it, I can tell you the spreadsheet we had to fill out when we picked our top either episodes or podcasts of the year had to say, like, how many people of color work on this podcast, how many non-binary people, like, it really went down to gender so that they had a really good mix. And the result is truly the most diverse listening you could possibly have in. There's so many best of lists this year, and I know 100's a lot, but you will find something that will just blow your mind on this list, I promise.
You always bring us great information. Phoebe Lett, the podcast proselytizer, she writes for the New York Times. Phoebe, thanks for coming to All of It.
Thank you.
This is All of It on WNYC. We'll be right back.
WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.